Hello and welcome back to Real Talk with Alyssa. I'm your host, Alyssa, speaking here on this beautiful day, although you don't even know what day I'm recording this, but it is sunny out and it is beautiful. And if you live on the East Coast, North, you are getting some beautiful weather as well. So I hope everyone's having a great week. Today's topic is going to be about therapy. So how does therapy work? Now, it may seem like a simple thing, like, okay, well, therapy, you talk about your problems and then you work through it. But there's so much more to it. It's so much deeper than that. And it really requires a really good, skilled, experienced therapist and somebody who is willing to take a deep dive into their psyche, their subconscious mind, and into their behaviors and really be willing to start working on themselves. So it takes two people in this process. But also, there's so much more to it than just you sitting there talking about your problems. Some people may find comfort in just dumping or just talking about their problems and not wanting to do any of the work, which is, you know, fine, whatever you feel like your needs are. But anyway, so let's dive in. So the purpose is to improve the quality of life through exploring symptoms of discomfort, stress, or just overall upset. So things that may be causing you to be upset, anything that may be triggering you, things that may be upsetting you, all of these symptoms really can either, it helps the therapist to better understand what's going on with you, be it a mental illness, which is very stigmatized, there's nothing wrong with that. To me, like a mental health diagnosis is really just a map to help a specialist, a therapist, mental health professional better understand what's going on with the person and also to better understand how to incorporate a different evidence-based practice intervention to help them heal from that. So a trained professional will take a psychosocial history assessment, including family history and just family dynamics as a whole. This is going to help the therapist better understand what's going on overall. And then obviously it can take quite a few sessions to really get a better understanding of the patterns that may be established within your system and kind of where you're playing a role in this and where the areas in which you're struggling with as a whole. So based on the diagnosis and symptoms that the therapist may be getting from you, now in order for insurance to reimburse any therapist, there does have to be a diagnosis. Typically, like depression and anxiety are always like an easy go-to. But to be fair, most people do struggle with those, especially in today's society, especially anxiety. So once they find a diagnosis, they're going to find a way to treat the symptoms. So they're going to choose an evidence-based practice and approach, and then they're going to discuss a treatment plan with you. Therapists that I've had have not talked about a treatment plan, but based on my training, you do discuss this. I'm not sure if most therapists do. I personally prefer that. I think it's important for me personally, but I guess it's also a case-by-case situation. If you feel like someone has like narcissistic personality disorder or borderline personality disorder or like any other type of disorder where it comes with heavy ego-driven behaviors that could cause a strain in the work dynamic, in the rapport with the client. So obviously the professional has to use their own personal, you know, weeding out. I can't think of the word. My brain is farting today. But anyway, so once they choose the treatment plan, not all of these treatment plans, these evidence-based practices, are going to be effective for you. It really is depends on like what you're comfortable doing. So for example, years ago when I was in therapy, my therapist really wanted to do EMDR, which is the eye movement desensitization and reprocessing intervention, which has been proven to be extremely effective, especially for trauma, PTSD, CPTSD. All those, anything having to do with trauma, really, it's been highly effective. And I couldn't do it. But also I was just very avoidant too. And I was scared to feel my feelings and scared to just feel everything. I just wasn't ready for it at that time. So it worked a little bit, but eventually my therapist just was like, all right, we're just going to do talk therapy because obviously that's just what I prefer to do. So again, like they may need to trial through a few different modalities to see what's going to be effective for you. More than likely, you may not even know what's going on. Some, again, every therapist is going to be different in their approach And they have to use their judgment. It's whatever they feel is best based off the person. It's a case by case situation. So as far as frequency, I personally highly recommend weekly sessions are very effective, especially if you have a lot of upset and distress in your life and you've experienced trauma, whether you're aware of it or not, because I understand that I could be speaking to a broad spectrum of people who are just like, okay, like what's therapy and how that works? And they don't really have any understanding of mental health. They maybe not carry much self-awareness or maybe just don't really know much about emotional feelings and as a whole. And I may be speaking with people who have a lot of experience in this area, or maybe some people who have been to multiple different therapists, such as myself. I have a lot of experience going to different therapists because I stopped and started until I finally found a therapist that was like, okay, this person's good. She's legit and she's very skilled and by the book. And I like that. Whereas the other therapists, I just didn't feel connected to them. So you want to try to go really on a weekly basis. Obviously, I understand finances can definitely play a role in all of this, but if you have the finances to support this and you really want to be proactive in your healing journey, then I highly recommend going every week. I've actually heard of people going twice a week. I have mixed feelings about that, but obviously that's something I would have to speak with someone about to even see if I felt it was going to be proactive. It's really going to be proactive for people who are actively doing the work, but I don't know. Gray area for me. Highly recommend once weekly. So it's important to focus on the themes. So just be patient with yourself because this could take time. This could take time as you're talking out loud. Sometimes you may recognize themes, but more than likely your therapist is going to be the one that's going to be able to pick up on the themes of the trauma and what's going on. The therapist is going to challenge you. That's very, very important for your therapist to challenge you. They want to challenge you. They're going to challenge you by asking questions. So they're going to really get you thinking about your behavior, the situation, and just dive even deeper over the deep past the surface level. Because on the surface, you know, we're all more than likely going to respond in a victim mentality. We're all going to be very egotistical in the sense of, you know, focusing on what they did to me, again, victim mentality. So the therapist is really going to help to challenge you to look at things from a different perspective. Because from what I've learned, just from doing all the work that I do on myself and just professionally speaking in general, is that you may speak to someone and they may have a completely different perspective than what you have, be it like realistic or not. It is reality in their mind. So that's also a different approach, and it can be challenging. It can also be very triggering. You're going to be triggered by your therapist. Unfortunately, this is just a normal thing that does happen. And just be mindful that your triggers are your responsibility. If you do feel like your therapist has any type of malicious intent or any type of tone where it's making you uncomfortable, I'm going to definitely encourage you to bring it to their attention. I've done this before. I've done this to two therapists. And it, you know, it definitely was uncomfortable. And then even like in the one person's response, I was like, okay, like this is just not going to work out because now I'm sitting here focused on them and their emotions and them self-disclosing and all this other shit that they're saying in session. And then sometimes it's like, it's too much work to work on with the therapist. I've had that because I was going to one therapist for a couple years and I was like, there's more work that needs to be done between the relationship dynamic that I have with my therapist than I can even, you know, I don't have time for this. I'm not paying for that shit. So obviously that I'm giving such a surface level explanation, but there's just, we're all human at the end of the day, right? So anyway, so they're going to trigger you and it's supposed to be triggering you in a positive light. Your triggers are your responsibility. Your triggers are your friends. So don't be scared when you're having an emotional reaction. I highly encourage you to talk about that when you're in therapy. If you feel like you're having an emotion, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling angry, like talk about that. You want to be transparent. That is supposed to be a safe space for you to talk about your emotions and what's going on, because this can help the therapist better understand, hey, maybe there's something else going on here. And then they can steer the conversation and healing into a different direction. It's phenomenal. It's really phenomenal work when you do one-to-one work with a trained professional. It really can be so beautiful and empowering. I had the best therapist that I had. She triggered me. There was a couple times where she triggered me, and I have a lot of respect for her, and I think she's a phenomenal therapist. She's very by the book, which I really, really liked. And when she kind of said something, it was just like a jaw-dropping moment that kind of like put the attention on me about like myself and my own patterns, and that triggered me. And initially I wanted to jump into victim mentality, but I was like, she's right. And honestly, that was such a game changer for me, like realizing how I was playing a role and how this like behavior and like dynamic with other people was a pattern of mine. I was like, oh shit. It's pretty eye-opening. So you're gonna have that, like a really good therapist. Like if you create a very good rapport with a therapist, you guys are gonna be able to have those breakthrough moments, which are absolutely amazing. I mean, I've heard so many stories of people saying, "Oh my God, I had this conversation with my therapist," or "My therapist said this, and my therapist said that," and it was so eye-opening. Like it really can be so empowering when you find a really good therapist or someone who's just a really good match with you, because it's important to have that type of connection. The goal is to get to the core trauma and work through the trauma towards healing. So if you as I can honestly go on a whole rant about this, about the core traumas and learned behaviors and all this stuff in your childhood, your relationships within your family dynamics and how they reflect, the relationships that you have outside of the home. I can go on a whole rant about that, which I'm sure I have and I'm sure I will in the future. But there, those are the things that you're going to be working on. It's not a matter of, obviously it could be acute things. Like if you're in a relationship and you're having relationship issues, obviously you're going to be working on those like acute things. But if this is a pattern that you continue to do, or you see that this behavior and dynamic has been a pattern with all your past relationships, you got to go all the way past all of those relationships, all the way down to your childhood, because it more than likely is related to that. And I'm not saying that you can't develop, create a trauma. You can't develop a trauma later on in life. 100% that can happen. And let's say that you come from a stable household, but then you get into a relationship with someone, and then that person was toxic, and then it ended up causing more trauma. Yes, it can cause more trauma, but also if you came from a healthy household with healthy dynamics and relationships, then how did you fall for this type of behavior? And how did you get into that relationship dynamic? Like, these are the types of things you're just gonna completely dissect and dive deep into. It is so important to have a good trained, a well-trained therapist that's gonna help you get to the bottom of all of this. So you really, really, really have to be open. I cannot stress this enough. You have to be open to facing your shadows. You have to be open to acknowledging and accepting the fact that you are playing a role in your life. You could be someone listening right now can be the type of person who's like, well, like, how is it my fault that this person keeps yelling at me and maybe hitting me or having any type of like emotional abuse in any type of dynamic? You are playing a role in that. And that's something that's very important that we all need to take accountability and responsibility for that. Because if we're going to keep people in our lives who are treating us like shit, there's something there within us that we need to dissect. Because why are we letting these people continue to treat us like shit? You are playing a role in that. So it's important to take accountability. Accountability is huge in therapy. You need to be open to this. And hey, listen, in the moment, if maybe your therapist thinks something about X, Y, and Z, and you're like, yeah, that's true, but, and something feels a little off, hey, maybe there's a little more to it. And sometimes, you may not be the problem in the areas in which that you think you're the problem. So just be open to taking accountability. Be open to recognizing that you're playing a role in these dynamics too, and that's okay. It's okay. We're all human. We're all here to learn. So if we take that pressure off of ourselves and we just be a little gentle and treat ourselves with some love and compassion, it's going to be much easier to heal. Because not only are you going to have to fight through the judgment and the stigma and whatever it is that you're creating regarding the emotion, you have to dive past that to get to that. But if you can give yourself love and compassion, you can easily get down to more of the core of the emotions and work through that. I hope that made sense. I had my physical hands drawing out a picture to describe what I was explaining. So I hope I put the words well into it. So anyway, so to just kind of review, the professional is going to be doing the psychosocial assessment on you with your history. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some sessions for them to really get a full understanding of what's going on with you, the diagnosis, the treatment, everything like that. And then they're going to create a treatment plan that you may or may not be involved in. And then you're going to just leave yourself open and talk about it, think your emotions authentically. I saw this one person on TikTok. It's pretty cool. I mean, first of all, I'm really having a hard time just trusting people in general because I'm just seeing so much, the way that we want to perceive ourselves, the way that we want people in the world to perceive us is the way that we're going to talk and act and all this stuff. So I'm just constantly observing this. But anyway, I liked this person's page. It felt pretty authentic to me. The person is diagnosed borderline personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder, and they said that they've been going to therapy, they've been opening up, talking about whatever it is that's going on with them. So, regardless of whatever's going on in that person's life, I really liked what they said in the TikTok, which was basically that, she was complaining about her partner to her therapist, and then she ended up showing. So she was complaining and saying all like these bad things about the partner, but then she showed text messages of the conversation and was like, look how, I guess bad she is. And I'm really just paraphrasing here, but the therapist was like, the way that your partner is talking in here is the complete opposite of the way that you've been talking about your partner and the way that your partner talks to you. So then they had to dive into that and basically say, like, okay, so you've been fabricating this, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Which was a great tool for the therapist and also amazing skill on the therapist, if this is actually true, to be able to have that open conversation with someone who's, by the way, diagnosed narcissist and borderline, which are incredibly challenging personality disorders to work with. And I don't mean that for the person in general. It's just very complicated as far as behaviors go and the ego. So it was very skillful that the person was able to have that conversation. And then that person who's been actively working on themselves stated how, okay, then they realized, oh, wow, this is another area in which I've been implementing manipulation and control over my partner. And I've been making my partner look bad to this person because of my false perception, because of the trauma that I've experienced, because of the filter, the egoic filter that I have in my mind that's been trying to change the way that I think and see things. So you make it fit your own narrative. This is what we do. And this is why therapy can be really, really amazing because it can help to dissect all of that and kind of just break through it and work towards healing the core traumas. So I hope that you guys got a lot out of this short little podcast that I had here as far as, what the purpose of therapy is and just kind of how it works. Of course, I can dive deeper, but because there's so much more, there's different healing modalities. There's got CBT, DBT, there's MI, EMDR, the ABCDEFG. I'm probably listing off letters that most people may not even be completely familiar with. But anyway, my point is that there's a lot of different treatment plans, and that's a whole other area of therapy. But all in all, this is how therapy works. So you may be asking, well, how do I find a good therapist, Alyssa? Like, what do I do? So it's very hard for me to give proper guidance on that because I don't know these individual therapists. I can just give you little tools on how to look for them. So you can ask for connections. You can ask people, hey, do you know any therapists? Or maybe you know a therapist or a friend who got a sibling who's a therapist or a parent who's a therapist, stuff like that. And you can say, hey, do you have any referrals? Here's what I'm struggling with, and here's what I'm looking for. And then maybe they can guide you to a professional that would be a good match for you as far as what their skills and experiences, because there's a lot of therapists out there who have specialties. So you may have someone who specializes in PTSD, but maybe that person who specializes in PTSD and the intervention of EMDR is just for war veterans. And maybe that's what their specialty is, and that's what they just want to specifically focus on. And so on and so forth. You may have people who specialize in depression and anxiety and specialize in CBT, but maybe you're struggling with schizophrenia. So you really want to try to find the specific therapist that's going to help you in the area. And if you don't fully know or what you're looking for, then you can just contact a couple of therapists and just say, hey, this is what's going on. Is this something that you specialize in or that you can work with? Now, if they are an authentic therapist, they will be honest with you and say, you know what, that's not really my area of expertise, but why don't you try contacting this person? This is a colleague of mine and they're really good at this. So that type of connection work you can work on. You can contact your insurance. There are out-of-pocket pay, so you can just honestly do a Google search. Therapist in my area. There's going to be different types of therapists that you're going to look for, and I can give you the lettering and specific names for that in a second. But there's also Psychology Today, which is a really big website that you can go on. It just searches within your area, and then you can also filter, use a filter. So you can put specifically, like, let's say you're struggling with depression, or you experienced a breakup or a divorce, or like a sudden tragedy in your life, like stuff like that. You can really filter it through. Then you can click the insurance that you have, and then it'll show you all the therapists. They're all going to have a profile. Some of them have a picture, and you can contact a whole bunch of them and just kind of have a quick little conversation. I have heard of therapists not calling back, so be prepared for that. It is a, you know, it's a good business to be in, because there's a lot of, ever since COVID, from what I've been hearing, there's a lot of wait lists, but it's definitely possible to get in. So just be prepared for people to not call back. That is possible. So with the out-of-pocket pay, again, you can just do a quick little Google search, but sometimes out-of-pocket pay can be expensive. I mean, it really depends on who the therapist is. If they're not as experienced, they may not charge as much. There are a sliding scale, and you can just look into that. So that's a few different ways that you can look. Oh, this is what I was going to say when I remembered. So there's different types of therapists, and some people may have a preference, some people may not. You've got the psychologist, you've got the social worker, and then the two different lettering for the social worker is going to be LMSW or LCSW or the PhD. The psychologist is more than likely going to be in a doctorate. I'm not 100% sure if they need to have a doctoral degree in order to do the practice, but if they say they're a psychologist, then whatever, it'll say it on their profile. Another one is LMHC, which is licensed mental health counselor. And then there's other types of mental health counselors. So you're going to see like an L and then different lettering. So there's licensed family therapist or couples therapy. Like, you're going to see like an L, which means that they're licensed, and a couple, usually like three letters after that. So those are the different types of professionals that you can look for. The psychiatrist, just so everyone knows, in case you're not familiar with the difference of the psychiatrist and psychologist, is that the psychiatrist is the one who does the testing and can prescribe you medication. So if you are seeking to get medication for anything, you're going to be going to a psychiatrist. They're going to do the testing and evaluation to see if medication would be an effective treatment. And all the other professions that I had mentioned are going to be the one doing the talk therapy with you, depending on whatever type of intervention they're choosing. So I hope this was very informative for everyone, and I hope that everyone has a great week. We are among spring. It is getting darker later, and also I'm not sure when I'm going to be recording my next podcast. It should be in about 2 weeks, but we are amongst a eclipse season, so I wish everyone the best of luck. And also Mercury retrograde is coming up, so everyone just be mindful about your communications. Basically talking to myself, so I could be careful as well. It's just a careful reminder. But anyway, everyone have a great week. Thank you so much, and take care.